a show for go-getting magic.
We're three magic-loving androids.
Yes.
That were constructed by our creator, Dr. Noonien Soong.
Beep, boop, boop, boop.
That's Maria Bot.
Beep, beep.
That's Megan Bot. I programmed Maria and Megan to play magic 1 year ago today.
Beep, that's boop. Not true.
No, not yet.
That's not true.
This is episode 51, Ben.
It's Bot, not 1 year, Ben Bot.
Oh, well, my bad. I forgot that I taught you magic the same day we started recording podcasts.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure you taught us in October, or you programmed us in October.
Well.
Either way, we're anyways, all wrong.
I dream of magic sheep. Anyways.
Maria dreams of magic goats.
Yes.
We're going to talk to you about what it means to be a magic player, how to enjoy magic if you don't already. We've got some tips. If you do already enjoy it, how to further enjoy it to the point where it becomes unhealthy for your body.
And your friends.
And we will tell at least one penis joke and one vagina joke during each episode.
That's guaranteed.
That's a guarantee. What's not guaranteed is that we will only tell one joke.
In addition to all those lovely things, specifically coming up on this week's episode, we have a For the Noobs about hate drafting. We're going to talk about some mechanics that are currently going on in draft and how easy or not easy they are.
Can we also talk about mechanics that are going off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be fair, some of these mechanics are really going off.
Yeah, they really are.
That's true.
Flashback is a really bad draft archetype right now.
We have some Dear Abby letters that we're going to answer, and a section just for this week called Cube Tube.
What's that? Stay tuned to find out. But before you guys go anywhere, I know you're only 2 minutes into the podcast, but stay where you are.
I can tell you're feeling the urge.
I want to tell you all about something. Magic the Amateuring's 1 year anniversary episode is coming up next week, so number one, don't miss that. Number two, we're celebrating it with a birthday party here in Minneapolis, MN. And if you happen to be within the tri-state area, perhaps even if you live in New York and you've got rich parents, fly on in. We're holding a birthday party Saturday, January 4th at Mead Hall here in Minneapolis. We're going to get the party started. We're going to record a live podcast at 6 o'clock, and then we're going to play Triple RTR at 7. Yes.
Why triple RTR?
That's confusing. I'm confused.
Because that was Megan and my first draft ever.
Oh, it butt was. Balls.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to have pretty cake. Amazing.
If that's not enough, you know, we're going to have cake.
Cake. Yeah. There will be
I'm going to give away a playmat. You guys, it's going to get crazy.
Oh, man. Wow. You're going to give away a playmat?
Yeah.
It's probably because you have so few playmats and you cherish them so much.
I have too many playmats and I don't give a fuck about them.
So come gonna, win a playmat, Maria doesn't
I'm gonna give
a shit about.
I'm going to give away a bag of garbage.
I can't, however, say that Maria has excellent taste in playmats, so it's sure to be a really awesome playmat.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Ben has really great taste in garbage,
sure
so
does.
It's sure
Thank
to be.
Thank you, guys. I throw yeah. away some nice stuff.
It's going to be a great bag of garbage.
For the noobs, hate drafting.
Oh, man. What is it when I hate draft something?
You know what, everybody? It's when you... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not going to answer your question. But okay. I'm going to say this. I didn't want to talk about this.
Why not?
Too painful?
Yeah, well, I thought we had this covered. Everybody out there in Magic World, I thought we've been over this.
I thought we've talked about this guy.
We solved this.
We sat down. We had that intense, long conversation about how things were going to change.
It was awkward, but we had it.
Things were
going to
be different this time.
Right? But they weren't. They weren't. Because at my latest draft in my local game store, what did I see? What did I see?
A hate drafter!
Did someone hate draft a card that you needed? Is that what this is about, Maria?
Was it a squirrel? No. Alternatively?
No, this was actually more than one person and not at my table. But I overheard somebody saying, I hate drafted a bunch of gray merchants. They were not playing black. And they were just taking them to keep them from another player. And I heard somebody else talk about hate drafting and how they had been doing it at our table. And, you know, Ben, why is hate drafting
correct.
Just to deprive somebody else from a card not a good idea?
Well, you want to lift yourself up. You don't want to push your fellow man down.
Okay,
like
since...
Like, if if I'm trying to get into the Olympics and you guys are in the race with me, I'm not going to trip you. Then we'd all have to join a bobsled team, you know?
Also, when you're running track in the Olympics, you're not allowed to go outside of that white line that designates your lane. And if you do, you're disqualified. So you're also really not going to trip me because of that.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of my point.
I want to be on the bobsled team with you.
Because when you hate draft, you're usually costing more to yourself than you are costing to anyone else.
That's right. Especially if you think about, say, I'm not saying that they for sure did, but if you open a Gray Merchant pack 2, pick 1, and it's sort of like, oh, I'm gonna hate draft this Gray Merchant away from the black player, but you might be, you're missing out on a sweet card in whatever your colors are.
Quite right.
And chances are, if it's a really good card, like a Gray Merchant, or just like, again, any other card that you might hate draft, it's quality enough to take away from someone else, you're wasting that high of a pick of your own in your own colors to take away that card.
Plus, what you're doing is you're trying to deprive somebody who you may not even play in the draft, number one, and even if you do play them, what are the chances they're going to draw and play that card against you? I mean, they're not super great.
Right, but if you compare that to a card that might make your own deck better, you will potentially be drawing that every game. And you will 100% be playing the deck that you draft.
Yes.
In at least one round.
Guaranteed.
There aren't a lot of guarantees in Magic, but that is one.
You are for sure going to play the cards that you picked in a deck that you built out
Some
of those
of them.
Cards.
I mean, you could play an all-land deck if you wanted to.
That's true, you could.
Yeah, that's
We
true.
Don't recommend that strategy.
No, unless you have one pack rat.
Although, if you do play an all-land deck, then any card you pick will make that deck better.
True.
That's true.
Truer words have never been said.
Thank you.
So, I mean, like, it is really tempting, I think, sometimes, to take a high-powered card and be like, there's no way I want to play against this. I just got to get this out of here. But
yep. You got. Yeah, I definitely recommend you want to pick the cards that are going to make your deck better. And if you look at the pack and there's really nothing for you, then maybe you should be thinking about, am I in the right colors? What's my backup plan if my colors are not going to come to me, et cetera, et cetera. That said, when is it okay to hate draft?
Sometimes, you know, a pack was just bad in a color. So it gets to you and you're like, well, I know that my colors that I've chosen are open, but they just don't happen to have shown themselves in this pack.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's nothing good for me. I might as well take something else that could work for someone.
Yeah, if there's nothing good for your main deck and also nothing even
for
your sideboard. Yeah, go ahead and feel free to just take the most powerful card or take the card that maybe fits into like a combo strategy or something like that. Like the Gray Merchant gets really good in multiples. So maybe you want to take that away just because it has the potential to be powerful, even if it's not always super powerful. On its own.
And I feel like when you're talking about like picking cards for your sideboard also, that's the point at which I'm most likely to trip up and hate draft when I shouldn't. Because I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
so think about that. Like,
I don't need, like, sure there's like a Shredding Winds and I'm in green, but like that's just going to be a sideboard card. But the truth is that could be a really crucial sideboard card.
Right.
If I don't have a great plan against flyers, well, like a Shredding Winds is going to be a great sideboard card for me and I should probably take it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
let's all
take Shredding Winds. First pick,
P1.
That's a sideboard card.
Talk me into it. I'm going to quote you on that.
You're going to shred so many winds, Ben.
Shred so many winds.
In other news, Shredding Winds is a new euphemism for the shart.
Whoa.
I just shredded some winds.
Yeah, that's when you shart when it's 30 degrees below freezing outside.
Go through your pants and slash somebody's tires on the way out. That is a powerful wind.
Okay, poop. We can check out the poop joke.
Check it out. I'm writing it right now. Poop joke done.
So hate drafting, you guys. It has a time and it has a place.
Yes. You're the end of a pack.
Yes.
Much
like
hate,
lemon flavoring.
Oh, I was going to say much like hate crimes.
Tell me, Ben. When is the good place?
Yeah, when
time
is the good
best place
in time?
To commit a hate crime is when no one is around.
And when's the best?
Not gonna touch that one. I'm gonna go back to how it's like lemon flavoring. There's a time and a place for things to be lemon flavored. It's not everything.
Yep.
Next up, we're going to talk about mechanics.
Oh my gosh, I have the hottest mechanic on my car the other day, you guys.
I've been having some car trouble lately.
Oh my god, you should
I left my dome light on and my battery went dead.
Ben.
That's not car trouble.
That's
you
stupid trouble.
I'd put it on a charger for several hours and now it's fine.
So you just plugged it into your house power?
Right.
I did.
Trick.
That's what I did.
That's nice.
So,
I think you can solve a lot of problems by just plugging it in.
Most problems can be solved by plugging it in. You know what I mean? Like, my computer won't turn on.
Plug it in.
Oh.
This Glade air freshener is not making my bathroom smell any better.
Plug it in.
Oh.
Plug it in. My phone keeps giving me this message that it only has 10% battery. And
throw
it's
it away.
Annoying.
Throw it away. Yeah, throw that away.
Throw that away. Yep.
R2-D2 has not shut down the trash compactor yet.
He needs to plug in.
Yeah.
He needs to...
I love you, R2.
You can do it! They look like they're gonna die, but you'll save them, R2!
So you guys, aside from how attractive or not attractive Maria's car mechanic is, we're gonna talk about card mechanics.
Oh, there's a D on
there's
that.
There's a D on the end of that.
To be fair, there's a D on your car mechanic, too.
Actually, funny story, he used to be a woman, so there's that. Anyway.
Wow. Theros, obviously...
I meant he was divorced.
Oh, I was going to say we can check off dick joke.
No, that was a divorced joke.
Oh, okay.
It's like it has a little D in parentheses after his name because he's divorced.
All right.
Careful.
Dick joke
emotional
is
issues.
Still on the docket.
But divorce joke has been taken care of.
Okay, I'll check that out.
All right. So mechanics that we have running around in standard draft right now.
Yep.
Words.
Standard draft.
Yep. Just a standard draft.
Yeah.
Let's not get confusing.
Mm-hmm.
In draft are heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's running around.
Yeah, that's running around. Monstrosity.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. running around.
Yep.
Is cutting a wide path as it does so.
Yeah.
And devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything I'm missing, home slices?
Those are the main ones. What about the mechanics that are not in draft right now?
There are a lot of mechanics that are not in draft right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned flashback.
Flashback, sure.
Nope.
Not in draft.
What are some of the... Populate?
Populate, not...
Not. Not overload?
Overload, yep.
Not
unless you're playing a cube, you guys, in which case maybe they are.
Ew, and we will talk about that in a little bit.
Is not in draft.
What was
squelch?
Nor is it a real mechanic.
Oh. Ban!
Rampage? Rampage, not a thing.
Planeswalking.
I so thought squelch was real.
Gobbledygooking.
That one's real.
Yeah, that was convincing.
You make a goblin every upkeep.
Yeah. Goblin to cooking.
Anyway, you guys, as you may know, heroic is good in draft. You heard it here last.
Or maybe from someone else.
Write that down right before things start to change soon.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about how easy each of these mechanics is to draft.
Okay.
I think starting with monstrosity,
mm-hmm.
that's something that it's... you don't need to have a bunch of cards that say monstrosity on them to make your monstrosity creatures good.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's definitely true.
You do need lands, however. So I would recommend putting 18 lands in your monstrous deck.
If you have a lot of monstrosity creatures.
The same,
couple of asps.
The same or similar is true for the bestow creatures.
Oh, yes. Bestow, we forgot to talk about that one. That's something that's going on.
You don't need a lot of them to make it good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they are kind of a mana dump, so if you've got extra mana to dump, feel free to dump it in the direction of your bestow cast.
Oh, if we hadn't already made a poop joke.
Too bad. What could have been?
We can't make it. If we only cannot we make a second one.
Held our load.
So yeah, monstrosity and bestow are both what you could call mana sinks. I'm gonna call them sinks, guys.
Yep, that is the proper sinks. Word.
I'm gonna call them mana sucks.
I'm gonna call them mana. Not gonna say the word.
Because I picture them as like the little tube at the dentist where he's like.
Oh, yeah. They put in your mouth and it's like.
You can spit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh god, I gotta get all of my spit out of my mouth right now because in 1 second it'll be too late.
I'll be choking on it.
Let's talk about how much I hate the dentist. It's a lot. Anyways.
Let's talk about how much I love the dentist. Just kidding. Nobody ever said that.
Guys, dentists love me. Every time I go to the dentist, they're like, Ben, oh, your mouth.
All right.
Is your dentist Barbie?
Yeah, my dentist is sexual innuendo Barbie.
Well, to be fair, though, you do floss regularly.
Yeah, but even before I started flossing. I know.
Did you do?
I think it's just good genetics, you guys.
Okay. So
not to brag, but
so bestow and monstrosity are both mechanics in Theros that it's pretty easy to draft. Just if you grab those cards in your colors,
just grab them.
They're pretty much always good.
And for the most part, pretty much every card with those mechanics is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty dang good.
Nessian Asp.
Pretty dang
good. Sweet monstrosity card, man.
That card. You know, just take it.
Just take it. Just take it.
If you have two asps, I feel like...
The world is your oyster.
You got it. If you have three, which I did once, no fucking problem.
You just need to make sure that you can get to that. You need to get to five.
Yeah.
Sell your home, quit your job, just make sure you have three asps.
Ride those asps into the sunset.
I feel the same kind of the same way about Nimbus Naiad. It's like... I could put as many Nimbus Naiads as I got. I would put them all into a deck. If I got six, I think I would probably play six of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Like, I would do that.
Heroic.
Even if you had, like, 10.
I think I'd probably play
23?
10.
A deck with all Nimbus Naiads?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Let's do it.
Let's try it. Okay. I would try a 23 Nimbus Naiad.
That should be our like watermark.
Yeah.
Like, okay, your deck's pretty good, but play against my 23 Nimbus Naiad deck.
Yes, and see how good it is then. That's amazing.
Did you just say heroic is easy to
I
track?
Think if you have 23 Nimbus Naiads, I think you could bump it up to like 25 because everything you have costs 3 or 5.
Yeah, I think you want
to... Okay, 24. I'll go 24.
I think you want to bestow them sometimes because if you've got... What if you have a Nessian Asp?
I'm just going to need to bestow a lot of Nimbus Naiads on other Nimbus Naiads.
Right, exactly.
I understand. Leaf Crown Dryad is one of my other favorite bestow creatures.
Yeah.
That card is solid.
Sweet. Every time that I look at it and I look at its bestow cost, I'm like, no.
Get out.
It doesn't cost 4. No.
Oh, no. Shut your pretty little mouth.
Ben
is You're well flossed, well brushed. Low cavityed mouth.
You're a very frightening British person.
The only problem with that mouth is a underbite, an admitted underbite, and a little bit of gum recession.
Congratulations.
Now you all know that about Ben.
Congratulations. Heroic. I think moving up on the scale, it's a little harder than bestow and monstrosity to draft a good heroic deck.
Yeah, because you need a... Enablers. You need enablers. It's kind of like, I would say that drafting monstrous is like smoking pot,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you don't need, like, you can kind of just do that.
Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just do it.
But this is more like...
heroin.
Yeah. Because it's like, you're not just going to accidentally start down heroin, right?
Oh, whoops. I got sweat into a needle.
No, you need... You need some stable friends that are going to help you get into this and support you along your journey.
When you trip up, they're there for you.
Yeah, when you want to quit.
They're going to say, you can do this.
When you're trying to cold turkey.
Get back on that horse.
They're here to reheat your meat.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Heroic, sort of like a monstrosity creature, a bestow creature. If you just have one in your deck, like, that's still a good creature. A heroic dude in your deck, like, might just be a mediocre creature if you don't have anything to activate its heroic
ability.
Man,
the only... you don't want to put a battle-wise hoplite...
Yeah, exactly.
In a non-heroic deck, though, but I don't see why you'd be playing blue-white non-heroic. I don't even know if
you're... Yeah, that's fair. Or, sometimes it doesn't come together. If you have, a Wave Crash Triton, when you can target him, that guy is awesome.
Yeah.
When you can't target him,
he's fine in a control deck. Yeah.
I can block some stuff now, but I'm not... Or, Triton Fortune Hunter. Meh.
Yeah.
If I can't target him.
So you want... you still need a critical mass of creatures in this deck. So it can be tempting to overload on effects and targeting spells that target. But be careful. You still want, Ben is playing around with the microphone in case you're hearing some weird rustling noises. It is not a gremlin in your ear hole. It is Ben rubbing the microphone on his crotch. I still think you want at least,
You still want, 14 creatures.
14 creatures.
At least.
At least in heroic. And then you can worry about the rest having target spells.
Oh, man. One of my favorite things in a heroic deck, Hopeful Eidolon.
He's just good in any deck, yo.
He is. But especially in a heroic deck, when you get, a bonus off of it, it's just sort of that's
more
sweet.
Like get a boner off of it. Heyo!
Dick joke made!
Write me down for dick joke.
Checking it off.
Thank you.
No, I heard you were always down for dick joke.
You're correct. That's right. I am. The listeners will know that.
Maria, always down for a dick joke. So, Ben, always up for a dick joke. We made too many of them now.
No!
We have to stop.
That just means we can cut this into 5 episodes.
Oh, good. So we've got Devotion, which I have never really seen. It's rare. Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Can we jump back to Heroic one more second?
Yeah.
I think, and I've heard this from several people, and I think I found it mostly to be true. Most Heroic decks are going to include white as one of their colors.
Yes.
Just because they have the most targeting cards.
The most. Let's talk about them.
And they have some great... heroic creatures like Wingsteed Rider.
Some great heroic Straight creatures up. Like Wingsteed Rider and the guy that makes all your guys. And also the enablers like the Chosen Ophelia, that's just standard run of the mill. But you got your Eidolon.
You have your Eidolon?
On top of your Vigilance Bestow Man.
Oh yeah, your Observant Alcaid. Your Dauntless Onslaught.
You got your Dauntless Onslaught.
Yeah.
You have your
Battlewise Valor if you need it, man.
Yeah, you have your normal Battlewise Valor.
God's Willing.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the 12-pound rack of ribs.
You really need that one.
That's a delicious
just
sandwich.
Just a delight.
Not only, why is it so good, you might ask?
Nope, I know why.
I know why it's good.
Well... If you didn't, hold on. God. Mind ray. Boom.
Oh my gosh.
I already knew that.
Shit, how far back should I go?
Delete at least 2 years of her memory.
It's good because not only does it enable heroic if you need to, but it also protects the heroic creature that you just built into a super god.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But just be careful that you don't make your own stuff fall off.
So, Maria, you were talking about Devotion.
Just like when you shoot an enemy, you don't want to also shoot off your own belt and then your pants fall down.
I don't know how that would happen.
I don't know.
You must be a really horrible assassin.
Like, if you ever think... Oh,
and also really lucky because you shot your pants off but didn't shoot yourself.
I'll just shoot from the holster.
From
which
the
is
hip. From the hip? Is that where that saying comes from?
Yeah.
From the hip through the belt. That's the saying, don't shoot through your own belt.
Yeah,
right?
I do know that saying. Oh god, I just never thought about where that come from.
So Maria, you were talking about how you have never really seen a Devotion deck.
I mean,
in draft.
Look, I have seen it in the
Maria's seen a lot of things.
I've seen a lot of shit in I saw a Devotion deck in that used Grey Merchant. I think that is really the only deck that I've seen actively used in draft. They call it the Grey Merchant deck, but what they really mean is sort of the devotion deck.
Yeah, I think black is definitely, like, in draft, the most likely devotion deck that you're going to see, just because, like, there's commons that use devotion really well.
And black is, I think, the strongest color in Theros, so they have enough playables where they can, you know, get a critical mass of creatures in your color more easily than other colors can.
For sure. And there's a lot of double black casting cost cards,
yep,
which is also pretty sweet for that.
Yeah.
But what?
What?
There's also, like, a big mana green devotion deck with the Acolytes, right?
Oh, that's true. Like, the Acolytes. That's true, actually. I think I've played that more than I've played Nightlia, a black devotion.
The Nightlia Disciple.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than the black devotion deck, because usually the black devotion deck is going to finish you with those merchants, and then you're really going to remember that you got killed by fucking merchants.
You're mad, Ben. You're mad.
But the
green one, it's more like you're using these Acolytes to just make gigantic creatures or monstrous creatures.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then you can use those Disciples as a bonus to bump your life total, sometimes by a lot.
Man.
If
you ever get out of Narber Colossus...
Good night.
Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon.
And good day.
Now, this is funny because devotion may be, you know, the hardest thing to kind of get together cohesively in draft, but it is by far the biggest thing in standard right now.
Mm.
You're not going to see a heroic standard deck. Right. Am I right, ladies?
You're right.
Am I right, ladies?
Why are we not going to see a heroic deck in the standard?
Because you put all your eggs in one basket, and you know what? That's not good in standard, because you know what they have? Board sweepers, kill
and
spells.
And removal.
Boom, boom, boom. Removal. Your basket and all your eggs are out the window. Now you don't get an omelet, you don't get breakfast, you also don't get your basket.
You have to explain to your mom where it all went.
You're going to have that hungry feeling.
Do not pass go.
And the cats are going to be crazy outside of your house because they're going to be like...
Literal egg on your face.
They've gone feral.
Yes. So
your face is a mask of egg.
So if you try and do a heroic deck in standard, you're really setting yourself up to be 2-for-1 or even 3-for-1 by someone's removal spell. So
it was just an idea I had, guys. You don't have to make fun of me.
You idiot.
But devotion is, of course, one of the big thing that's going on right now. Everybody has devotion.
Blue devotion, black devotion.
Red-white devotion, red-green devotion.
That's a thing?
Green devotion. Oh, yeah.
Red-white devotion?
Oh, yeah. It's a thing. It's kind of like, it's like red, it's like an aggro deck, but better.
Mm.
Oh.
You should look at it. You would
like
it.
It just seems like two colors having devotion is...
Well, when you got a Reckoner.
Yep, it has a lot of stuff like that where it's like...
You got the Reckoner that double counts, so...
Yeah,
exactly.
You just kind of go from there.
Really, the only thing we're missing is white devotion. Because nobody's going to be devoted to that, am I right?
Really? I mean, like, isn't the entire history of the United States of America white devotion, you guys?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Uh-huh. What about George Washington Carver? He invented the peanut.
Yeah, that's in Black Devotion Month, February.
Oh. February, we're all going to celebrate Magic Black Devotion Month.
Oh,
God. Do you think
they're going to put out some new cards in the next set when it comes out in February?
Oh, snap.
We'll look for it. We'll look for it.
Everyone look for the George Washington Carver card.
Yeah. The MLK card.
The MLK card.
Rosa Parks card.
Oh, yeah.
Target creature does not sit down on the bus.
Exactly.
That means your creatures cannot be tapped.
Oh no.
Oh snap.
Rhodes Park creatures super you powerful.
Creatures you control cannot be moved to the back of the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't tap them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it.
I think we just made the Rosa Parks card.
I think we did. Good create a card, everybody.
She's a creature, right?
Same time next week.
All right.
This is a segment where listeners can write in a question to us, and we'll answer it. They need to write it into us in the style of a Dear Abby letter to a newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had some listeners take us up on this. If you want to take us up on this, please send us an email to magictheamaturing@gmail.com. Or if your question is short, tweet it at us at MTAcast on the Twitter machine. It was invented, Twitter machine, in 1976 by George Michael
Washington
Twitter.
Washington Carver?
Invented by George Washington Carver. It's powered by peanuts. A lot of people don't know that. Peanut power.
Is what powers Twitter.
Is what powers Twitter.
All right, here we go.
Oh, God, I couldn't vamp any longer.
Good. Here we go. This one is from Corey. He says, "Dear Abby, I have been wondering for some time now when those jerks from Magic the Amateuring, that's us guys, will create a card to deal with Motherly. I've been playtesting their set and keep getting overwhelmed with all the tokens that Motherly produces. I wish that jerk Ben had never invented it.
Oh my gosh, this
confused,
is great.
Confused, lustful, and drunk with power, Lord Manhammer."
Dear Lord Manhammer, thank you for playtesting our awful piece of shit create a card deck. Motherly was invented quite a long time ago in one of our earlier episodes.
So we will create something to deal with it when we go back, find that episode, and remember what the card does.
I have an idea.
Do you?
Yeah.
What was it, though? It, like, tapped, and it put a counter on it, and it made babies somehow?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
It definitely made some kind
of baby
tokens.
I think I was in Europe.
You were.
Guys, the idea I have does not require us to remember what Motherly does.
Oh, okay. okay, good.
Say what the answer is, Ben.
It's a card called Zero Sum Marriage. That's the name of the card.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And the card says, act as if Motherly was never played this game.
So wait, if Motherly had tokens, are just fucking gone.
You have to go back and reconstruct the game as if Motherly
as if it had never been played.
You have to take shit out of your graveyard. Like, oh, did Motherly?
Very nice.
God, what a horrible, horrible situation.
Wait, so what's it called?
Zero Sum Marriage.
And how much does it cost?
Four.
All right, just four colorless.
Yeah.
Straight up four colorless.
It's a colorless enchantment.
Oh, it's a sideboard card, everybody. You don't want to main deck that, probably.
No.
Just putting that out there.
Well, it depends on the meta. I mean, depending on the meta.
If Motherly is everywhere.
I mean, if Motherly is as OP as Corey claims.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
In the alternate future league.
This next letter
is from Dan Bat.
I enjoy listening to your podcast while Ma at work. I believe he meant to say I'm at work.
No. When his mom's at work, that's the only time he can get it in.
While Ma at work.
Oh, he's a mother. Okay. And can't wait to listen to Middle Life Crisis on Podcast Monday. I hope you already listened to it because that was the episode before this one. I want to start competing in tourneys online, but a few cards short. Is it better to trade with bots or just accumulate through packs, in your opinion? Keep the podcast coming. We will.
You have to be polite, Abby.
Oh.
First, Dan Bat. Thanks, Dan Bat.
Thank you so much for writing into us.
Yep, there you go.
We are Abby.
We are Abby. Welcome. Are you on Medicare?
So definitely don't just open packs on Magic.
Never open a pack.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
I would not go that far.
Never. I opened a Modern Masters the other day. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Online?
Yes.
I've definitely opened packs online. Like, I had a bunch of M11 packs, and I'm like, you know, they're probably never going to bring back the M11 draft format, so I'll just open these.
That's fair.
But in general, opening packs is not, on average, going to get you good value out of your packs. Now, if you want to open them as part of drafting, feel free to do so. That's fine.
Because then you have the opportunity to win more packs.
Yeah. But if you want to play a constructed format, I would definitely buy the tickets and then just trade the tickets with bots. Or you can find sites that will actually sell cards on Magic Online. And I would just get cards that way. It's probably going to end up being cheaper overall.
Yep. Alternatively, if you have a lot of trade stock, like you know that you want to play, say, Mono Black Devotion in Standard, but you happen to have some sweet rares in other colors, you can always post that on the trade forum and see if there's other players out there who are interested in trading with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. If you're concerned about the cost, be smart, pay attention, learn how cards cost and how to trade them, and then trade, like, keep building up your monetary financial pyramid. Try to get some other people like in your Ponzi scheme, and then just Bernie Madoff.
That shit.
Yeah,
Bernie Madoff.
I would say, you know, if you happen to win some cards in draft and you want to trade with a bot, which is what I do for tickets, because I just like to draft more, do a single trade on your cards that you know are worth money. Search for the best price on, say, your Planeswalker or your Hero's Downfall or something like that, your Thoughtseize. But in the majority of the rest of them, you can just do a bulk trade with a bot. But for those other ones, I would say don't bulk trade those. Go and specifically find somebody who's willing to pay the most for those, because that can sometimes be a difference of maybe 4 tickets. Like, I've seen that big of a difference. So,
nice.
Do your research.
Yep. And again, those are those cards that you, if you open rares that you're not looking to put in that standard deck that you're looking to play, instead of buying tickets, like Ben mentioned, you can trade those sweet rares for tickets and then use those to buy cards.
Hooray!
Yay! All right, we have one more, Dear Abby.
Okay.
This is from Ben Counter on Twitter.
Oh. What is the Ben Counter at anyway?
There, it's like when we are getting mad at you, when you come over, we can just throw it on Ben Counter and you get kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, like, between me and him, there's two of us, so it'd be at 2.
Oh, what is the Ben Counter at, I wonder?
And if you're a listener and your name is Ben, let us know with tweeting at us at MTAcast, and we'll get a Ben Counter going.
We will make a giant Ben Counter.
A Ben Counter is also not the best idea if you are remodeling your kitchen. I would go with granite.
I don't know. I don't know.
You look durable.
Look, trust me when I say you would be disappointed if your counter was made out of meat.
I just want to slice an onion on you. Is that weird?
Yes.
What did he ask?
Dear Abby, I like playing Magic to exercise my brain and nerd out, but get frustrated when I lose. How can I stress less?
Oh my gosh, it even like Ben. Reads like a little Dear Abby letter. I love it.
Ben, thank you so much for writing into us.
We appreciate that.
One, totally feel ya.
Yeah, man.
Because sometimes the unfortunate truth is you just get mad.
Yeah.
Because there have been times...
We are highly emotional people.
Mm-hmm. Everybody poops.
Everybody poops. Everybody
and
gets
everybody
mad.
Everybody stress poops.
Yeah. Wait, I thought this... Is stress pooping when it just comes out like a rush, or is it like when it's you can't? Which of those
it's
is
more
it?
More about motivation, I think.
I gotta do it. Stress poop.
You guys, we already made one poop joke.
Oh,
we can't be making
it.
This
oh,
one.
Oh dang it! We're over our quota.
We're so over our quotas.
Sorry, guys. Just our level of professionalism.
This is a really good question. And this is one of those questions that does not have an easy answer, because dealing with stress is not something that I can just push a magic button.
Yep. I think one of the most important things is, like, as you said, you're playing it to exercise your brain and nerd out, and hopefully it's also really fun. If you're, obviously it's really hard to not be invested in winning, but just sort of at those moments, take a deep breath and remember, hey, like I'm here playing this because I like this game, because I wanted to come play this game. And like as many times as I'm going to have like a day of shitty draws or like tons of mulligans, like I'm also going to have days where it's just like I top deck the card that wins it.
Yeah. I think this is what I think when I get upset. If, you know, say I just got mana screwed or I made a misplay, misclick, whatever. I think back to my very first draft, which, as y'all know, was triple RTR. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, opening those packs and passing them around our tiny little card table in the back room of the shop where we were playing, because there were so many people.
Yeah.
That, like, it was so exciting. And, like, seeing those cards, like, it was like... I didn't know what some of them were. I mean, it was just like a moment of discovery, and it was so great. And I reevaluate, you know, that was so fun. And look at the player I am today. So much better than where I was, even with a bad beat. I mean, I can still say to myself, look how far I've come in the game.
Yeah.
And that can help give you some good perspective.
Yeah. So evaluate, like, as much as a negative thing is weighing you down, evaluate all of the positives because, I mean, hopefully they're there. And if there absolutely are no positives, I'm really sorry for the bad run you're having. That's rough.
If you feel real bad, just, I don't know, like, look at a picture of, like, Elspeth or something.
Exactly. And if you really need to overturn a table, wait until you get home.
There are a couple tactics I've tried that I'll recommend. Yeah. They don't always work because nothing always works.
Except
for love.
That's right.
There we go.
When you do play, try focusing more on making the best possible play instead of just winning or losing.
Yeah.
Because that way, even when you lose, you can at least take satisfaction in that you made the plays that were correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You played your best game.
For sure. That's called decisions versus outcomes. You want to focus on the decisions that you made. Yeah. As opposed to the outcomes that were yielded.
Exactly. Focus on things that you can control. Also,
locus of control.
Also, one thing you can control is your own smile. I know it sounds dumb.
Oh, you're being serious. Okay.
Yep, I know it sounds dumb.
That was.
But.
No, I've heard this
if
before.
If you actually smile with your body, that will make you happier. And it's hard to be unhappy when you are happy. True. And then one other thing I would say is when you do win, try not to internalize the win itself because it's not, I mean, it wasn't always, you don't always win because you were super smart or because you deserve to win, right? Sometimes you win because you're lucky. And the same is true for losing. But if every time you win, you're like, oh yeah, this proves that I'm an awesome person, then when you lose, it's, you know, your body's going to be like, oh, I guess we are not as awesome as we thought.
You are still awesome, Ben Counter.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, everybody, for writing in your Dear Abbeys. Remember, send it to us at magictheamateuring@gmail.com. They can be magic-related. They can be non-magic-related. They can be about your dog. They can be about your teeth. They can be about your frog. They can be about your kind of lazy best friend. They can be about your ceiling tiles. They can be about your feeling tiles. They can be about your crayons.
What are you going on about now?
Sorry, I had a loose circuit for a second. Where am I?
Yep. Hey, Maria, we're recording Magic the Amateur.
Oh, I was having a dream.
I'm sure you were. Oh my gosh. Okay, Maria, you just pulled up some crazy cards that I want to tell everybody about because they're amazing.
So everybody, coming to Magic the Gathering Online December is the Holiday Cube. And a lot of people are losing their shit because it's a pretty fun format. Now, this is new to Megan and I because we have never actually played in a cube.
Oh.
So what we're going to do is we cracked a pack virtually of cube cards, and we're just going to look at some of them because a lot of these cards we've never seen. Some of them we have, but like, wow. They do some cool stuff.
Maria and I are not super familiar with these cards since we only started playing about a year ago.
Ben, what is cube for people who don't know?
Cube is it's kind of a slang term, but the process of cube drafting is that instead of opening packs up to draft with, someone has put together a bunch of cards, and you pull out some of those cards, make your own random 15-card packs, and draft those. Usually these cards are from the best cards in Magic, but you can, if you want, make a cube using whatever parameters you want.
Some people make, you know, cubes that are made of only commons and uncommons, for example.
A popper cube.
Some people make cubes that include the power 9.
A powered cube.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I know that there's a cube where they have a rule like if you win the cube draft, then you get to alter one of the cards in the cube. You get to add text to it
for
what it does. So one example is in the cube because it includes RTR block. There's what's that card that just says populate?
Reborn Defenses?
No, it's just, it's one white.
Oh, no. Wake Their Reflections. Yeah.
One drop pop. Why you know instant one drop pop? They changed the text on that to just say, populate.
Mm.
So you play this card and you populate three times.
Oh.
So that is another type of draft.
That's kind of cool.
Or cube draft.
So what have we opened here? We've got you can have as many uncommons, rares, and mythics in these packs, quote unquote, that you open. We've got Time Spiral being one of the things popped up.
You skipped Caracas because you don't think it's cool, but Caracas is played in Legacy because it's the shit.
Okay.
Caracas is a legendary land. You can tap it to add a plains to your mana pool, or you can tap it to return a legend to its owner's hand.
What is a legend?
What is a legend?
Like a legendary creature.
Target legendary creature.
Okay.
So imagine you're playing someone who's playing Sneak and Show, and they turn 3 Show and Tell into Emrakul. You can Caracas it back into their hand.
Yikes. They can never get that shit out.
Exactly.
Or maybe they just get to recast it every turn.
Yeah, or they recast it again. But you still got to Caracas. Then you Caracas it again.
Yeah, but then they keep getting extra turns.
Oh, that's true. But that's if they just hard cast it from their hand.
Yeah.
If you Show and Tell an Emrakul, then you don't get the extra turn.
That is true.
Look at this thing, though. Looter Ilkor. 1/1 for 2. It has shadow, so it can't be blocked. It can be blocked with creatures with shadow.
Mm.
And when it deals damage, draw a card and discard a card. Are you kidding me?
It's pretty good, but you can kill it. It's not that. I mean, the thing about the cube is, I'm gonna warn you before you start drafting the cube.
Okay.
Power level is much higher, so your standards for what is good
need to
be much higher.
Gosh, but how can you evaluate? I mean,
it's super tough. I've only drafted with a super powerful cube a few times, and it was not very easy. You kind of need to get a few under your belt, I think, before you know what's really good. That Time Spiral card, I believe, is potentially very good.
Yeah, I would think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, Tooth and Nail, that's a pretty famous one as well.
Ooh, Tooth and Nail.
He was back in Modern Masters.
Tooth and Nail is a very expensive card.
Yeah.
But if you get to 9 mana and you have Tooth and Nail, then you can kind of just win the game usually. You can, you can use it, for example, to get Emrakul and put him out.
I want to get Emrakul out.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Don't you always? Let's see.
We've got a card with Ninjutsu. That's kind of funny.
Nah.
Throat Slitter.
Oh, gosh. It's a rat ninja.
That's pretty sweet.
Rat ninja!
I think the Terastodon in this pack is also pretty good. Also, like in general, the dual lands can be pretty good in this deck since you usually are able to get pretty powerful cards.
Everything. Yeah. There's the red guy from the Praetors.
Urabrask the Hidden, he's pretty good.
Yep, a lot of those were pretty good.
He gives your guys haste, and he gives your opponent's guys like super unhaste.
Yes,
because they come in tapped.
He gives them lag.
Why? And the mono red deck
The keyword has 5 A's in it.
Lag. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Oh man, I would maybe pick that guy just because I want to beat down.
Sassy Boros player.
Rakdos.
Okay,
oh my goodness. Okay, so what about Living Death?
Yeah.
Each player exiles all creature cards from his or her graveyard, then sacrifices all creatures he or she controls, and put all cards he exiled this way out of the battlefield. OMG.
That is another potentially powerful crazy cakes card.
That's not so.
In the correct. In the
mono black or something.
Yeah.
Reanimator. Mm-hmm. Whew.
Yeah.
Let's try it. Let's load up another real quick.
All right.
You want to look at another pack? Should we?
Which card should we pick?
What do you want? What are you pick from here, Ben? Time Spiral?
Fuck, I don't fucking know, man. Look at all these fucking Jesus.
Jesus! Wow. That's a new card. Jesus.
I feel like I'd probably take Tooth and Nail and Terastodon. The Time Spiral card's also really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
All right, Shrine of Burning Rage.
Yikes.
Just gotta love that name.
Sounds mean.
Yeah, that's a pretty good card. We also have an Urabrask again. So if we'd taken one Urabrask, the second one's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though it is a legendary creature, it'll just get worse in multiples.
Yep.
Oh, that's true. That's
Mentor of the Meek is pretty good with something like Spectral Procession.
Oh my god, yep.
Spectral Procession is actually just pretty good on its own.
Yeah, that seems like it.
Force of Will is pretty famous.
Oh, yeah. It allows you to discard a blue card to and this. Or you play this and you discard a blue card. Anyways, to counter.
Yep.
Yeah, it's potential if you're in a control strategy. Don't skip over that Isochron Scepter.
No.
Ooh, where's the Isochron
Have you ever seen this card?
I've seen the art. I recognize the art.
Read what this card does.
Okay.
And then look at me with shocked eyes.
Okay. It is an uncommon. Imprint. When Isochron Scepter comes into play, you may remove an instant card with converted mana cost 2 or less in your hand from the game. 2, tap. You may copy the imprinted instant card and play the copy without paying its mana cost.
Yeah.
How are my eyes really shocked enough for you?
So you could have infinite lightning strikes.
That's insane.
You can just lightning strike everything ever.
And it only if you have 4 mana, then you're not even taking a risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compare this card to like the Elite Arcanist or whatever that was in M13.
Yeah.
Where it was the same, basically the same, except had no limit on the casting cost and...
It's a creature.
And it was a creature instead of an artifact. So it was much easier to kill. This card can initiate some crazy, crazy combos.
We've got a planeswalker here. Liliana Vess.
Oh, she's from M11.
M11,
You plus one her to make a player discard a card. That seems pretty sweet.
Nice.
You minus two to search your card for a... library for a card, then shuffle your library and put that card on top.
Is she like the best planeswalker in cube, or is she not?
She seems like the worst.
Oh, really? I don't know. I'm asking a legitimate question.
Well, let's see. She's a 5 mana planeswalker. She has a starting loyalty of 5, which I believe is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Tutoring, I guess. Oh, she's the one that tutors a card.
Yeah.
And then she can bring back all creatures. I guess she's all right.
She makes
not the worst Liliana Vess possible, but. Like, she's probably not that great, even compared to some of the other cards in this pack.
Yeah.
Let's look at Burning of
Zinnik.
Anyways, you destroy 4 of your lands, and your opponent destroys 4 of his or her lands. Then Burning of Zinye deals 4 damage to each creature.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah, that could be pretty good.
Wow.
So, like, can
you... You can use a card like that to lock people out of the game sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
say
they only have 4 lands.
Boom. Boom, dead.
You're so dead.
Like, do you know what's coming at you in cube, even? Can you even, like, play around shit?
Like, me personally? No.
Do people?
No.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, okay.
It does get a lot harder because there's spells like Force of Will where it's like, well, even if they're tapped out, they can still do shit. So that gets tricky.
Yeah. Bogart Ram Gang is
what? That is the name of a card?
Yes. That is from Shadowmoor or Eventide, I believe.
Yeah. Haste, and it has Wither. Which it deals damage to creatures in the form of -1/-1 counters.
Huh. All
right. Let's do a couple more. Because this is too exciting, guys.
I mean, like, this just... I think I would just suck shit in my first 10 of these.
Okay, read Thawing Glaciers.
Thawing Glaciers?
Where is it? Right. Thawing Glaciers. Yeah. Land. Comes into play tapped. 1, tap. Search your library for a basic land and put it into play tapped. This does not count towards your 1 land per turn.
What?
Shuffle your library afterwards. At end of turn, return Thawing Glaciers to owner's hand. That's pretty bonkers.
Yeah, it lets you thin out your deck pretty crazy. We've got our an old friend of ours, Flicker Wisp.
Oh, yeah. I remember this guy.
He's a modern master's friend.
Yeah.
What does that Headhunter do?
Headhunter, 1 and a black. Whenever Headhunter deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card from his or her hand.
So 1/1, and it is morph for 1 black.
Yeah.
Morph. Yeah, it's not bad. That's a good point. You, like, how many creatures in this set have morph? I think there's a handful.
What about this card, Ball Lightning?
Yeah,
that costs
you're gonna
3
like
red.
This. You're gonna love this card. You're gonna be all over this card.
I'm in love with this card. 3 red. It is a 6/1. and it has trample and haste. And at the end step, you sacrifice it. I let him marry that card.
That's a very old card. I think that really? Was in. I think that was in Alpha.
Yeah,
reprinted.
It was reprinted in M10 at least.
Or maybe it was from the Dark. It was very, very old
that's
card.
That's old.
Oh man, here's a card with the level up.
Oh my gosh.
Jiraga Tree Speaker.
That's a great card.
It costs a single green, and it's a 1/1, and it levels up for 1 and a green. So when it's levels 1 through 4, does it start out as a level 1? No, you have to level up 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Tap to add green to your mana pool.
So wait, you play and it's not even a level 1?
No, it's a level 0.
It's a, yeah.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
And it becomes a 1/2, and level 5 plus, elves you control have tap, add green to your mana pool.
Wow.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so it's essentially sweet. a 3-mana mana dork, but it makes 2 mm-hmm. mana.
Yeah.
And
if you get it big enough,
yeah,
can make all your other.
Yeah. But usually you're just leveling it up once, because you're probably not going to have that many elves or need that much mana.
Mm-hmm. By that point in the game.
Read this Desertion card and Mystic Snake. Those are okay. Pretty good.
Desertion, 3BB. Counter target spell. If that spell is an artifact or summon spell, put that card into play under your control as though it were just played.
Nice.
Wow. Mystic Snake.
Oh my god.
Gotta love it.
Penis joke.
1GB. Flash. When Mystic Snake comes into play, counter target spell. So it's basically a counter spell where you also get a 2/2.
Yeah, I'll take that. So yeah, a lot of cool cards in Cube.
Crazy, crazy cool cards,
makes
man.
My life worth living.
Wow. We're going to have to try it out.
Oh, man. I'm terrified, personally.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be there for you emotionally.
Thanks,
Ben.
When everything goes to hell.
Will you be there physically?
We'll see.
Okay, that's fair.
Everybody, that's our show for this week, episode 51. Coming up next week, don't miss it, it's our 1-year anniversary.
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding.
And this time, we correctly used the word anniversary.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And don't miss our party on
Although,
January 4th.
You did use it redundantly.
Shut up, Ben. Just shut up, Ben. We hope to see you at our party on January 4th, guys. That would be awesome.
For more details, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast.
Remember to send us your Dear Abbeys on Twitter at MTAcast or by email to magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
And if you can't come to our party with your physical body, just take a photo of your party face and your party hat.
I would love to see your party face. Party,
yes.
And your party drank.
Yep.
Yes.
And we will favorite
Please,
it.
Yeah, tweet it at us. Tweet it at us.
And leave us a review on iTunes if you happen to be a subscriber. You can download and listen to an episode every single week automatically on iTunes. And if you leave us a review, we'll make a pun based on your username. And you too can become internet famous, much like Star Wars Lightsaber Kid, Little Bub, or Grumpy Cat.
We guarantee that amount of fame.
Yes, we do. Oh, we didn't have a vagina joke, everybody.
Oh, what did the vagina say to the mummy?
I'm hungry.
Get it?
Nope. Hey, guys. Oh, one more reminder. If we get to 500 followers, we will make shirts and randomly give them out to people.
Yeah, that's right.
So follow us on Twitter.
We need some more followers.
Oh, crazy.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye, dudes. See you at 1 year.